Surviving Ireland. Written and read by Colm Tobin. Foreword. It's exhausting, being Irish, the weight of history, the self-doubt, the constant analysis, the wind. You'd sometimes wonder why we are so hard on ourselves. Is it the post-colonial overhang following centuries of oppression at the hands of a litany of foreign invaders? Or could it be the collective guilt and deep shame we feel for having sent Westlife out into the wider world? Perhaps we're just bored. In Ireland, navel-gazing has become a national sport. If our current affairs TV shows aren't repeatedly raking over scandals from the past, they are horrifying us with portents of the doom to come, stoking up fear about all the horrors and misfortunes that are surely only around the corner. In the run-up to 2016, we've been in danger of entering a whole new golden age of rabid self-reflection. We've already been inundated with an unprecedented array of debates on the nature of Irishness and what it truly means to be Irish. We've already seen the unedifying scraps between historians, the ceremonial hijackings by political parties, and those endless documentaries with tuba-heavy soundtracks featuring grey-haired men spouting misty-eyed horseshit, each of them visibly laid down by the overbearing weight of their own accumulated opinions. This book is basically my attempt to get on the ladder before everyone else. Designed to act as a survival guide for anyone living in or visiting the country, over the course of these chapters, I will attempt to unmask the real Ireland. What is the true essence of this mysterious, mist-green land with its majestic undulating landscape, so battered by harsh winds and the angry seas that spit and fizz and churn? Is there anything to be said about this little island with its jagged teddy bear outline, which lurks guiltily to the western edge of Europe as if it were illegally parked, that hasn't already been summed up neatly on TV adverts for rashers? And what of the creatures who live here? What can we say about the tribes that have formed and the lives that they lead? Can the Irish be defined as the slick, upwardly mobile, bright young things of Europe with the skinny jeans and the unnecessary spectacles? Or are they still the slack-jawed simpletons, staring toothlessly out of John Hine postcards, patting their donkeys and waiting patiently for death? Is it possible that there is a third or even a fourth category of Irish person? Also, why, for instance, are we still known as the land of saints and scholars when recent history would suggest we are primarily made up of below-average accountants and people who are handy with the greyhounds? Irishness means more than merely holding a passport with a harp on it. It has an international residence enjoyed annually by millions the world over as they strap on fake red beards and parade themselves silly in novelty leprechaun hats, before proudly raising a pint glass to our patron saint, Patrick. Some say you can hear Irishness in the lonesome lilt of the Uilleann pipes, that you can smell it on the farts of a billion Guinness drinkers. Look hard enough and they say you can see it winking back at you from the oily thighs of Michael Flatley. As you will find out, most of this is bollocks. You see, Ireland is no longer just a physical place. Through emigration, we have transcended space and time by spitting people out in all directions over the course of many generations, particularly those too talented and troublesome to be left around the place. What can we say about the scattered millions of the diaspora? Are we happy to leave them to rot away in the bedsits of London or at the all-night beach orgies of Bondi? Or are we right to harness their global influence and their creative energy by bringing them back home and shaking them down for cash, like we did a few years back during the gathering? Over the following chapters, I will attempt to answer at least some of these questions without getting too distracted by Facebook. Surviving Ireland is designed as a handbook to modern Irish life, and although primarily aimed at an Irish-born audience, I hope it will be read and enjoyed by people the world over, including the following: recently sworn-in Irish citizens, visiting tourists, Richard and R. Judy, drunk people in airports buying it by mistake, thinking it's the latest novel by Colm Tobin. I hope you enjoy it. Chapter 1. Climate. In Ireland, no subject occupies our day-to-day conversation like the weather. It is a constant wellspring of drama. Nothing stays the same for long. Dramatic winds can pick up on the calmest of afternoons. Cold, rain-soaked mornings suddenly turn hot and humid. Scorching summer days can veer off and turn wet and nasty. The truth is, in a country where the folk memory of civil war lingers in our subconscious, where the collective wounds from Saipan still lie open and exposed, it is vital to have something non-controversial to blather on about. The weather does exactly that job. So, to prepare you for life in Ireland, let's look at some of the main categories of Irish weather, beginning with the most common of them all, the rain. The rain. If the rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain, then the rain in Ireland falls mainly on, well, the Irish. Ireland is chiefly famous the world over for two things.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?